Hallelujah. I've told you several times, when Satan is attacking your finance, is he going to spend your money? He's attacking your health. Does he have hospital for you to go? For him to make money from you? Amen. If Satan decides to frustrate you using all his agencies, there's only one thing he's targeting. It's your faith. It's your faith. Nothing more. Until we have the type of faith that Job had, everything you have in one day wiped away, and you can say, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say, I have sat Satan down some years back. I sat here, I locked door, give and sit to sit down. Me, I sit down. I say, hear me now. All this frustration you are giving me, I know why you are doing it. For your information, this decision I have taken, I'm not turning back. It is for better, for worse. When you tire, you go leave me. Because this Jesus, I will serve him. Praise God. And when he realizes that this decision you have, that this is not, you are not following God for any other reason, there is something that is making you love him. Amen. When he knows that, that is the beginning of him looking for another person to tempt, not you. You will know this one, you are wasting your time. And so it is. Praise God. Now, with marriage, and we want to round that up today. Last Sunday, I couldn't come, but I thank God, our Pastor Peter. Where's Pastor Peter? Where's Pastor Peter? Hey, Pastor Peter. Amen. It's not the seat you sit down that gives you ministry. You don't understand now. Amen. You see, we are doing this in deliberate. I said the same seat that the members sit down is the same seat we shall sit here at the altar. If we not sit for cushion chair, we will sit for cushion chair. We must not be more comfortable than you. Because we are your servants. We are your servants. Forget that denomination where they get the throne, where they sit down on top. They have collected the Church of Jesus Christ from him. Then a king and a queen, they are sitting down. And people are thinking they are serving God, not knowing that those people they serve. So, Pastor Peter, you did a good job the past 2 weeks. But I have come to collect back my pulpit from you. So that they will not say, now you be the pastor. Amen. And let's round it up. Now today, it's just normal. Because this is an area that affects the believer generally and is most understood. Remember our text. Remember our text. Psalm 82 and verse 5. And Psalm 11 and verse 3. But Psalm 82 verse 5. The last statement, the last sentence in that verse says, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. That is, all the principles upon which this earth is built, they are out of course. Everything. And so many of them, they are all out of course. And in Psalm 11 verse 3, Psalm 11 verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And these foundations that are destroyed is not the foundation of your inheritance, your family. This foundation is the foundations of the earth that are out of course And we the righteous, the children of God, what then shall we do? Because these foundations include the basic foundation of marriage. One of them, that is all we are taking, just one of them. And it's so important. And I'm happy because what we are doing has effect. We've been having testimonies for the past 2 weeks. There are people that are listening to us and they are acting on what we are teaching them here. Praise the Lord. And as we round up today, I will just go over a summary of this and then create time for some questions. Praise the Lord. The foundation of marriage, in summary, this is the foundation of marriage, Matthew 19. Let's read it from verse 3 to verse 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? This is divorce now. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That is the foundation. He went to the foundation. Even this foundation is out of course. Have you not read the manual for marriage? This is the manual. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and male? I mean male and female. Male and female. Male and female. But the foundation for marriage is out of course. Now we are having LGBT, gay and the lesbians, man marrying man, woman marrying woman. And they are pronouncing them even at the pulpit by pastors. Foundation is out of course. The next verse. Hallelujah. And he said, for this cause, because he made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man, see the foundation, leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. I will rush this. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, the words of Jesus Christ himself, let no man put asunder. Verse 7, they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Hallelujah. I'm reading verse 8. I'm reading up to verse 9. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you, suffered you to put away your wives. But the foundation, from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, is a law from God himself. Whosoever shall put away his wife, listen very well. When you are reading scripture, read also in between the line. It also, read the context very well. Put away his wife, a woman can also put away her husband. Okay, let's read it. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Because it's not only a woman that will commit fornication, the husband can also go and commit fornication. And your wife will catch you. If your wife will catch you with another woman and has evidence that you are fornicating with her, she's free to put you away. Hey, Pastor Moses, the Bible didn't say so. It's because you are not reading with revelation. Because if you don't do this, read this by revelation, then you will say the Bible only speaks that it is only it's only a woman. If you catch a woman, it didn't say if you catch a man. I'm reading on. And he said unto you, and I say unto you, Jesus is saying, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another. You put her away and marry another, you commit adultery. And whosoever married her, which is put away, if you marry that person, you yourself, oh, you are committing adultery. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. God does not permit divorce. And remember, he said, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. That means there are things that can scatter that marriage. One of them is the outside influences. And this outside influence included even the law of Moses. Even the law that Moses gave, that means even your pastor cannot break this law. It's an outside influence. God join you together. Let no pastor, let no prophet use revelation. And especially gifted people. Any gifted man or woman that tells any sister, any brother, you married the wrong person. This is not the person God ordained for you. You marry a wrong wife. You marry wrong. Now you know it's already putting asunder. And they know how to do it. Satan knows how to destroy any relationship. Destroy any relationship. And let me tell you something. Amen. I counsel couples very, very regularly. And I've been doing this since this ministry started. Some, I even go to their homes. I have visited some several times in company of my wife, to try to settle marriages. And if you hear, married brother, married sister, my prayer for you is that you will not allow an outside influence in your marriage. You know, amen. I really wish I can say this thing in a way that somebody will understand. Brother Peter left a lot of nuggets that they were hitting me left and right. I don't know whether people were listening to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And within the week, I just jammed a preacher on the television. I was speaking along these same lines, and he spoke about, and he mentioned one of the reasons that create problem in the marriage. Say is the third voice. He said it's the third voice. He said it. Thank you. He said the third voice. You are the first voice, your wife the second voice, then there is a third voice. Third voice. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And Satan knows how to manipulate, how to get you. Let me tell you how to defeat the third voice. Pastor Peter dropped it. He didn't elaborate, but he just dropped it. It hit me. Because I know that is the major problem in Christian marriages. Christian marriages. Then I understood. There is a sister here who was telling me. She said, any phone call she receives, she puts it on speaker for her husband and her to hear it together. She told me that. Sister Tessie, am I correct? Maybe somebody would think I'm not talking. Where is Sister Tessie? Where are you? Are you here? You never come. She told me this, it was something else. Somebody was saying something and misquoting, and she told me, she said, no, my husband is a witness, because when she called, as a principal, any call coming, I put it on speaker phone. My husband and I, even as you are talking to me now, because I called her, he said he's hearing you now because it is on speaker phone. So who do you think can come and talk nonsense? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anything anybody tells, I'm talking particularly all of us, you should be so much linked together in friendship with your wife that anybody that tells you anything, especially that concerns, that can affect the relationship, we know it. Anyone that tries to say anything negative concerning your wife or concerning your husband, as they drop the phone, you know who called me now? You know who called me now? It's Brother Emeka. He called me that he saw in a revelation that he saw you, that he saw you with one sister in a revelation, and he's telling me to pray, oh, and one collect you from me. The husband will immediately call the wife. You gave my wife this revelation. You gave my wife this revelation. He said, yes. The first thing is he will be shocked that he told you. Now the next thing you will say, he said, why did you tell my wife? Why are you not talking to me? In a proper relationship, you have no right to give my wife any revelation without first telling me. Serpent has no right to go to Eve. You have no access to my wife except through me. It destroys marriages. It destroys relationships. You saw my wife that she died. Then you are telling her, I saw you. You'll die. You have killed her. You have killed her already. You will tell me. Then I will know how to pass that revelation to her. She's my wife. I know how to communicate with her. This is the principle to keep your marriage. The principle to keep your marriage. No matter how correct that revelation is, no matter how correct that revelation is, even if you saw revelation that I want to kill my wife, you will tell me, I had a revelation, I see you carrying knife, kill your wife. God said, if you try that, you will die before she dies. I will stop it. But if you go and tell her, how will that stop me from killing her? That's why I say, and you have not seen witches in the church with the Bible, big Bible they hold, and when they mean to finish you, finish your relationship, finish you. Amen. Before you know what, pass information that will even create anxiety and depression over your wife if she's not emotionally strong, because she will believe you. And when she believes you, she will act on it. And when she acts on it, amen, then they are not flowing in the same wavelength. So what happens? Fight begins. That outside influence. If you can guide against it, whether it is your mother or your father, if it tells you the man, pass it to the wife. Always be in the same wavelength of information. My mama said this. Me too, my papa said this. They say they want to finish us. Okay, they are coming tomorrow. When they come, see what we go do. See how we go plan now. See what we go do. See what we go plan now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, a word is enough for the wise. Try it and you'll understand. A third person. He said, for this cause, marriage, will a man leave his father and mother, leave the influence of your relatives, leave the influence of whoever it is, leave the influence. Make sure they don't influence you. And when your mother-in-law tells your husband something and he comes to share with you, it's not to make you hate the mother-in-law and begin to fight her for what she's telling your husband. It's for the two of you to know how to manage such a mad person. If the two of you to manage such a crazy person that wants to come and disturb you, the two of you will put your heads together and plan how you will do it and not to confront her. Of course, there are demonic influences too that can disturb marriages. A demon will come and use the face of your wife and be attacking you. He's trying to put asunder what God has joined together. A demon will take the face of your husband to attack you every time that your husband is seen. Then before you know what, is this woman that is causing my problem. A demon, immediately you marry a woman, finish. Then the demon can come and begin to scatter. Hey. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what I'm telling you is wisdom from above. That man you marry. Tessie, yes?
Yes, I'm calling to confirm what you said because I'm worshiping online today.
God bless you.
Yes. I told you so. And even my husband is here with me. In that situation, I do that because I'm discussing with somebody. Maybe later I can forget what we discussed as a human being. So my husband hearing it will be a witness. I said so. I told you that.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Your husband is blessed.
What?
Your husband is very blessed for a woman like you that has so much confidence. And
you
hide nothing from him. Church, let's clap our hands for this sister. Clap your hands for this sister.
Thank you. Shalom.
It's a living example. Praise the Lord. What I'm telling you this, you may not understand because it is until you experience it. But I'm speaking by the revelation from above. I'm speaking because I have handled cases. I know when somebody wants to, hallelujah. Because these gifted people, some of them have no fear of God. They will tell you they are prophesying. I'm telling you. Before you know what, somebody from a mountain, say he's calling from a mountain. I was praying, I don't know you. And God just gave me your phone number and your name and said, be very careful. Somebody, I don't know, do you know so-so-so name? All this I received. My name is Prophet. I don't know you. I'm only telling you what God is telling you. Put it on speaker for your husband to hear. Then you say, he's even here now, he's hearing you. The line will cut. I'm telling you, the line we caught. Praise the Lord. And they are only aiming at something to destabilize the peace of that family. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether you answer me or not, I'm speaking wisdom to those who need it. And I know many of you take what we say here seriously. Because last week, I know a sister that had planned to pack out online, pack out of her husband's house, made the decision, finish the arrangement. But after she listened to us, I have the text message. My wife read it. And she said, she has realized, as bad as her husband, if you, I know the husband is very useless. In fact, if my sister is my daughter, in fact, if it's my daughter that is marrying that man, in fact, I'll kill him. So that my, they said, till death do you part. But she said, although he is useless, I discovered that I also contribute to his actions. I have now realized that the part I'm supposed to play, I was not playing. I have changed my mind. I'm going to make this marriage work. She sent it to me. So I know there are people that are listening to us. I know there are people that will act on what we are saying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, there are causes, you know, family and things like that that follow. But when we are Christians, once you notice a trend in your family, go for deliverance. That's all. The solution is not divorce. The solution is not separation. The solution is go for deliverance. Let me tell you something. And whether you believe it or not, I've told you, and I'll continue to say it, that I am not worshiping Satan. Therefore, Satan cannot dictate my life. It's a revelation I don't know how to convey. I am worshiping God. Therefore, everything around me, I see God first before I see devil. Hallelujah. If I am traveling and suddenly I have a tire burst, I will not say, Satan, you are a liar. You want me to have accident? No, I will say, all things work together for good. God is delaying me so that I will not meet a danger in front. Think like that. Everything around me, I see God first before I see Satan. And I don't believe, I'm saying it again, I don't believe, I say it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have that faith and revelation enough to know that no prayer, no prophetic action, no curse, no babalawo can break my marriage. I repeat, I'm speaking the position of every Christian. No woman, no man, no witch, no shrine. From where? Through where will you pass with your juju? I believe nothing, because the word of God says, what God has joined together, except it is not God that joined you together. I will say it. Except it is not God that joined you together. There are marriages that are contracted not for love, but for contract. Those of you in Europe, sisters in Europe, that you are looking for a husband from Nigeria, many of them, it's not you they are marrying, they want to marry Europe. You are in Canada looking for a husband here, Abby. Every day, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now you, All the women, where they Nigeria here, they don't see now you, they see for Facebook. Now you. Many of them, they don't love you nothing. They want to use you to move and immigrate to Europe. So that one, now God join them. Now Europe join them. Then, there are some men that go after sisters that have money. I love you. Now lie. Now your money they look for. If he marry you, feel I love you. Even God knows, say no be him join you. Now money join you now together. But if it is God that join you, no man, no woman, no prophetic action, no night, whatever it is spell, can break that marriage. How many people can say amen to this? Praise the Lord. And another thing that can put asunder that marriage is your attitude towards one another. Our attitudes towards one another, the husband and the wife. Always remember, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Hallelujah. It is what, brother? Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 25. Let's read it again. We have read this over and over. Pastor Peter quoted it. This is it. Husbands, he said, love your wives. This is how you have to love your wives. This is how, because we are also married to Jesus as a church. You are to love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is the pattern you are supposed to love your wife. He gave himself for it. He gave himself. He took time, gave himself to it. It was an assignment for him that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to who? Why is he washing the church? To present the church to who? To himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. So when you marry a woman, you pay the bride price, it's your wife. That is when you give yourself into preparing her for you to enjoy yourself. For it is what you make of her that you will enjoy. That's why I say whatever you sow is what you reap. It is what you give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Eh? Good measure. Hallelujah. A wife is in that marriage, she is the first receiver before she gives. She is only responding. Whatever she gives you is a response to what you have given her. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. I don't know the grammar to use. All of us, we give and take. But I'm saying that first and foremost, it is what the man gives that she also will give back to him. A man will stand up and be warning the woman, if by December you never born Pekin, I'll go and get another one. Every time there is delay in conception, always the whole family, even the husband will be facing the woman. Can the woman pregnant herself? It is the sperm you give her that she will give you a child back from. If you didn't give her a living sperm, she has no child to give you. If you give her love, you the man, you will receive obedience and respect. Oh yes, that's the truth. If you want her to be beautiful, then give her money. You want her to cook good food for you, then give her enough money. You give her small money, she will give you the quality of the food that that money can afford. I don't know if somebody is hearing me. It is what you give that you receive. You didn't give her the things to make her appear beautiful. She will appear ugly before you. Because it's what you give her, she will wear. Praise the Lord. The other day, Pastor Peter was saying, you don't dress well. You don't dress well. You don't dress well. Every time, a tie wrapper, they knock door, visitor knock door, and they enter. You will tie wrapper to come and open the door. I said it that day. When a so-so wrapper you they buy for Ramunko? Nobody, what do you give her a wrap to come out with? All the gifts you give her is wrapper, wrapper, wrapper. Now, somebody is knocking at the door. What did she go? We are going to receive them for outside. You make your wife happy. You give her happiness. She will give you peace and joy. Oh, yes. But you give her strife. Anything you give a woman, she will multiply it for you. You give her wahala, she will give you stress and sleeplessness. You give her wahala, you trouble her, she will return, you will not be able to sleep. Hey! Hallelujah. She will give you stress. Stress. For that house. Stress. For midnight, and make her wake up. Wake up, listen to me. Till daybreak. Now you cause her. Praise the Lord. And you, everywhere you go, you continue to disgrace her. Disgrace her. She will give you disrespect too. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. And I'm about to round up. And so for an enduring marriage relationship, a peaceful marriage, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The whole summary is in going back to the word of God. Obey God's word and his commandment concerning marriage. And this is a little bit of how the Lord put it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. Matthew chapter 7, this is the way he put it. You know, and he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus Christ is speaking, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain of frustration descended, and the floods of problems came, and the winds blew from outside enemy, from within enemy, spiritual and physical, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, especially as it concerns marriage, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his marriage upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Listen very well. And the same thing James also spoke also in James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25. James chapter 1. This is the way James put it. James, he said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And he added, deceiving your own selves. If you are hearing only and you are not doing what all this preaching we have been preaching, he said, you are deceiving yourself. Let's read on. Amen. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass mirror. For he beholded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, continue in it, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the commandment, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any among you seem to be religious, well, one of the problems, let me not go to verse 26. Praise the Lord. Because one of the problems is the mouth. If I go that one, I will take all my time. Because mouth, women are mouth. Mouth. Pastor Peter said that the woman is the remote control. The man is the television. He said, when you take remote control, that television set, you can off it with that remote control, and you are the remote control. You can off it and you can put it on again. Only you can put it on again. When it comes to conjugal relationship, a man that is not happy with a woman can never achieve erection unless he's a beast. The emotions affect blood flow. So you can switch him off sleeping with you conjugally, but only you again can switch him back. So learn that fact, and it's always with the mouth, with the tongue. But that's not where I'm going. It is in obeying the word of the Lord. Just write these scriptures down. Go and read them. Where you see instruction for the man, the word of God, that you have to obey to enjoy your marriage. That is the foundation we're going back to. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24 is instruction for the woman. And from verse 25 to verse 29 is instruction, God's word, for the man. I call the scriptures again. For the woman, instruction, the word of God that you must obey. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 to 24 for the woman. And the same scripture, verse 25, the same chapter, verse 25 to 29, the role of the man, the position of the man. Now, you must also obey 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, headship. It places the woman under the man as the head of the woman. They are all God's commandments. So, learn to play your own part of this commandment. Always note that the wife is a helper, and being a helper, you are a helper to fulfill the role that the man, to help the man fulfill his roles as a husband, and to help him fulfill that role. And so, for my advice for the restoration of your marriage, it starts with a decision. Like that sister sent to me, say she has decided she will make this marriage work. You have to make a decision that I will not leave this marriage. I will make this marriage work. And it is not by commandment. It's not by order. No. You have to work it out. And no matter how the past, you have offended each other so much, hurt each other so much, one of the decisions you must make is to forgive. Forgive one another. That is how to start afresh. Let bygones be bygones. When you forgive, don't Don't mention those things again. Don't remind each other those things again. And the longer you keep from making reference to it, the farther it fades away from your minds and from your heart, as it brings healing. And identify, be honest enough to identify the cause of the problems you have always had. Do everything to avoid them. Stop those causes. Stop them. And be prayerful. For without God, you can't achieve peace. Pray for what? Pray for wisdom to deal with your partner. Because every human being is unique in himself. You are unique, is unique. He cannot be like you, you cannot be like him. So note what type of character is this and how will I deal with this man? And it will only come by prayer. Pray for the spirit of understanding. And pray for patience. Pray for patience. The Bible says you should acknowledge God. It's prayers. And he will direct your path. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.